let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. You'll find us online, thisweekinamerica.us. And thank you for spending some time with us on the program today. Our guest is Soledad Dos Rios. She's the author of Angel del Brazil, and she joins us by phone on This Week in America. Soledad, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, it's nice talking to you.
Yeah,
they told me you have a flair for making your people like me in your set comfortable.
Well, we tried to, and we'll find out at the end of the segment whether I did that or not. But it's a pleasure to have you here, and I'm really looking forward to having this chance to talk with you. First of all, before I start talking about your background in writing poetry, give us a little bit of information about the book. It's so well, it's been so well received by the critics and by readers. A little bit of background on the book, and then we'll talk about why you started writing poetry.
Okay, my adventure with poetry really began with my mother, whom I lost, who passed away when I was 7 years old. She used to rock. She was an organist, so she was into music and songs. She was an organist, and she had went with my grandfather, her father. They were members of a society where they used to have, you know, events. So she was a singer. She loved classical music, you know, music.
Oh yes.
So, yeah. So every, you know, so that was my going to bed routine, is to hear her sing to me. And so, you know, after she passed away, that was a difficult journey, you know, through some years.
Oh yes.
But that's my introduction, my, you know, connection with the, you know, poetry and of.
Yeah, and those were obviously special days that have stayed with you and really shaped you, didn't they, as a person? That influence from your mother and the time she shared with you, that's pretty much who you are today, isn't it, it sounds like?
Yes. Yes, it gave me a survival tool, you know, all these years because, you know, it's difficult, you know, especially when you're a female. Well, you know, whether you're a female or a male, you know, it was a difficult journey, you know, growing up without her. But that gave me, you know, poetry gave me comfort. So that was, and going to school, of course, there's poetry involved in some of the lessons that you experience.
Yes.
And you find, you know, it's like, it was like a friend to me where I can, you know, could express my ideas, my feelings without judgment from other people.
And well, it's sort of your own private space, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
What are some of the influences, were some of the influences that led to poetry writing? It's obviously something that's a passion with you, as you mentioned, started at a young age. What are some of the influences? Maybe other poets, maybe reading poetry as a child. What were some of the other influences that led you to writing poetry?
Yes, I don't know, somehow I took some of the lessons that I had in school. Some of my poems, you know, some of the topics are linked to some of the lessons that I, you know, it's like something just clicked in my mind to do,
yes,
you know, to create, you know, like a song.
Exactly.
And, yes. And it just continued. It was soothing for me, I must say, because I was kind of I was not a very social person growing up, so this was like my companion to do this and reread those things. So, and you know, it did help me a lot psychologically. I didn't have to go to a psychologist or a therapist. You know, this was my the writing poetry and even reading poetry. That was my.
So give you a few books and a notepad and pencil, and that was your therapy. You were able to, well, as you said before, I think a poetry was sort of like a friend, a companion that you grew up. Our guest on the program is Soledad Dos Rios. Her book is Angel del Brazil. And as I've explained in the program before, I did not take Spanish in high school. I decided to take Latin, which was a bad career choice because nobody speaks Latin anymore. I know that Gaul was divided into three parts, and other than that, I don't even remember much about the Latin that I took in school. Am I pronouncing the name of the title of the book correctly?
Yes. Angel del Brasil, well, in Spanish we say ángel, but angel is singing.
Okay, okay, that. Yes. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to the Amazon link. And, of course, you'll find it at Amazon. I'll give you all that information throughout the program so you can get information on Soledad's book. Let's talk about some of the different kinds of poetry that you write and maybe how that's changed over the years. What kind of poetry is in the book and what kind of poetry do you write? And has it changed over the years?
Well, there are different topics, and you know, a lot of it has. Sometimes I make connections with like certain themes that you know I was dealing with in school. You know, experiences of going places where they, you know, something struck you, like the history, like going to museums and learning the history of certain. You know, issues.
Yes.
That gave me sometimes, you know, it's like something sparks in your mind, like you can take a sentence or a paragraph and it like illuminates you and it like brightens you in terms of what can I do with this? And you kind of take it from there and formulate your own story.
Well, yes, so and I would. Almost think that just going down to the grocery store could spark some ideas as well, just in seeing something. Is that how it works? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's sort of like you don't look for the poetry almost looks for you.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Well, and it's interesting, your background as an educator. Talk about that, if you would, in interacting with the students, in talking about the whole concept of rhyming and poetry. Has this made you a better teacher because of this background in poetry?
I think it had. There's an element of that. I enjoyed, you know, working with kids, and I, you know, envisioned myself as they were seeing them growing. You know, they, you know, I enjoyed because I didn't, you know, I mean, you have kids from all kinds of different circumstances and backgrounds.
Yes,
I was a bilingual teacher, so I work with a lot of. Students with, you know, multicultural levels, and
yes.
You know, they sometimes it's interesting, differentiated to learn, you know, the cultural links between parents and students and their educational foresight. So these, to me, they were like jewels, and I studied them kind of to, you know, to just learn their behavior and what they did, how they acted. Many of them were very polite. And some of the things that I remember, you know, they enjoyed poetry a lot because it was a tool for learning, especially those that did not know the English language. It's a very interesting and productive tool for them to learn, you know, because they learn the meaning of a word, how to say a word, and then there are a lot of them that they can link, you know, by rhyming them, they can link to them and learn them that way. They love singing, of course, you know, and they try to translate from what they knew into
exactly.
The English language because they always want to be, you know, I'm in America, I must learn English, and, you know, they were very enthusiastic about that. So, you know, and again, you know, rhyming is an interesting teaching tool because, you know, like rhyming, making poetry, but, you know, it increases the vocabulary. You know, it's in a lot of the games that they play, there are little songs involved and attached to the games. And they, you know, children, of course, enjoy, you know, those moments.
Well, exactly. I was going to ask you about the benefits of poetry. And you've talked on some of it. I never really thought that much about it before. But it's a great learning tool, a teaching tool in school, probably without the students even realizing they're being taught something because it's so enjoyable to go through this process. What are some of the other benefits of poetry?
Well, I think it has an emotional element to it, where you know, a therapeutic element to that, and especially for people who like to sing, because songs are usually poetry as well. They, you know, like music and you know, that has a sense of relaxation. And, you know, it takes your mind off a lot of, it makes you focus on, you know, on the niceness of life.
Yes.
And the pleasures of, you know, singing is nice. Children, sometimes they burst out singing out of nowhere. And they just, you know, because they, in their mind, something crossed and they like to sing. And they, you know, I've seen children, sometimes they're sitting down by themselves and they're just singing to themselves. So they, you know, that has, I feel that has an element that makes you feel good. Of course, the content is, you know, it's an issue, but most for, in terms of children or young people, the, you know, they're usually nice.
I'm thinking about poetry is almost universal. Is that the case? I mean, you've got a very diverse classroom and everybody seemed to join together and enjoy poetry. Is it universal?
I believe so. I believe so because I, like I've said, I work for, you know, with students from, you know, various, you know, parts of the world, and they seem to, that element seems to be ingrained in their culture and what they do. And, you know, even the parents, they want, you know, the parents want to retain their heritage and their language. So they do have, you know, like in their, at their home, they keep, you know, those books or stories that, are related to their culture, but also they are acquiring, coming here, they are acquiring an expansion of that in another language. And it's, you know, it's like a fun thing for them to, you know, to have that.
With us on the program, yes, I mean to get you off because that is so important, and I'm getting a whole different perspective of poetry, not just something you sit down and you read and enjoy, but it can really have a major influence on your life, as was the case with our guest on the program today, Soledad Dos Rios. The book is Angel del Brazil. It's available at Amazon. And if you go to our website, you can link on directly. I'll give you the spelling on everything before we wrap up today's program, so you can Google it and find it for yourself. It's fascinating, the whole history of poetry. How long, I wonder, was this developed? How long has poetry actually been around?
From what I know, it's something that has been around since history, since the beginning. You know, mothers playing with their, you know, singing to their children, humming to them and putting them to sleep, playing games with them. And I think mother has an important, just like for me, mother has an important role in taking their children in that road, and they smile, they're happy, they're not crying.
Exactly.
So.
Let's talk about the different languages. Are there some languages that have more affinity for poetry than others?
I was wondering about that myself. I tried to see if I found any information on that. And I think, you know, the information from what I got is that, you know, every language really has its, you know, its way of doing poetry. One thing interesting that I read was that in Japan, the Japanese, you know, now they are in link with most of the other languages, but at some point they were not. You know, that concept was not involved in their teaching, in their speaking, in their songs or elements of poetry. There was like not rhyming, like rhyming things and doing things poetically. I think they were more. Japan was one of these things. I was kind of surprised, but. That's what I read.
Well, that is an interesting aspect of that, and you wonder how long it's been around and how it's evolved over the centuries. When you deal with young children, for example, is there a gender preference when you're dealing, you know, boys, girls, equal? Who likes poetry, or is there really not that much of a difference?
Yes, I find that young children, you know. But they're not, you know, they're not teenagers. They're not thinking about girls or boys or other things.
Yes.
You know, the younger children, they just love it, you know, whether, you know, despite of gender. Sometimes I find that as they grew up a little bit, and they think that, especially the boys, kind of think that it's not manly, a manly thing to be reading poetry and singing a certain way. Not, you know, they do sing, but they sing their way. But
yes.
They think that it's a girly kind of activity, that they need to be a more serious and more macho kind of behavior.
Exactly, yes. You know, a couple minutes left in the program, and you've touched on this, the being able to use it in language developmental issues. How do people respond to poetry therapy? And it sounds like there is such a thing. I never really thought of that before. There is such a thing, isn't there, as poetry therapy?
Yes. I find, I mean, for me personally, I mean, I didn't go to a therapist, but, you know, just going to school and, you know, and just studying at home and
yes.
doing, you know, pursuing things on my own, that was therapeutic for me, because, you know, when you lose a parent at the age of 7, it's, you know, you feel, and then I didn't have a good family. There were not, you know, in my family, paternal and maternal, there were some vibes that were not very good for children. There were situations, and I just kind of, and then I, you know, my father used to work in travel, where he was with the embassy, and he traveled and he was absent for months. So, you know, when my mother passed away, they put us, my brother and I have a younger brother. We were interned in the school because nobody kind of volunteered something to take care of us. So we were interned in a school. From there, we were, as we had to pass, you know, from elementary to high school to, you know, advanced studies, we, you know, had to leave it, you know, certain, depend on certain family
yes.
members for care and things like that. You know, and then when you're more independent, you have more, you know, freedom to, you know, choose, make your choices and things like that.
Yeah, we got... It sounds like it was a very important part of your life, and I want to know, we've got a couple minutes left here, what's it like when you're working with the younger people, when you worked with the younger people, and maybe you see a smile on someone's face as they're understanding poetry and rhyme and the value, the beauty of that. What's that feel like when you're the one, sort of the role of your mother that's introducing to these young people this whole world out there of poetry and rhyme?
Oh, they, you know, I love seeing the smile in their faces.
Yes.
Children, when they learn something and they, you know, they kind, sometimes you don't have, you guide them to the path, but they come to the conclusion. And I, you know, and then they, when they sing, oh, I got it, I got this. And you see the glare, the joy in their faces, and, you know, like, I'm smart, I got this kind of thing. And that just gave me such pleasure. And sometimes they would write, you know, write me poems, write the teacher poems.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yes.
And you were the so one that made that connection for them. That has to be a very satisfying role that you play and a satisfying feeling. I'm going to take 30 seconds
yes.
here. What do you hope people take away in reading the book, the poetry in your book? What do you hope we get from that?
Well, it's, to me, it was like... I mean, I don't call it a game, but it was like a tool for me to, you know, like a therapeutic tool for me. You know, sometimes something got into my mind, and I don't want it to feel sad, so I try to use poetry to be creative. You know, and sometimes something struck me, like, let's say I'm from, you know, from the islands, I'm from the Dominican Republic, I was born. And there was, when I left, I'm sorry about something that happened, because we were studying about the treatment that the Spaniards, you know, gave to the natives.
Yes.
And the herd that they almost eliminated the whole, you know, clans, you know, of the different Indian tribes, native tribes, I should say. And, you know, that struck me. And I started writing a poem about that. And then when you know, at some point I missed that so much that I don't remember the poem, but I have, because I had, at some point I had to leave to come to the United States following a civil war, actually.
Wow.
I somehow couldn't find the book where I used to, you know, do writing. For me, this was like sporadic things. Like, so, you know, an idea got in my head and I had to write. You know, it's like the word just came to me. I don't know what it, why was that, but like I kind of translated life events or something in my mind. It transformed into poetry.
The book is available at Amazon. And let me give you all the information. Now, our guest on the program is Soledad Dos Rios. That's Soledad Dosrios. The title of the book, Angel del Brasil, and I'll spell that AngelDelBrasil. You can link on directly to the Amazon link by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Soledad, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for spending some time with us on the program. Best, are you working on another book now?
Yes, I have. I had to stop on this, but I'm working on another book related to my experiences with my students and what they taught me. Because I look at other, you know, sometimes they give you lessons, you know, they are.
Yes, a two-way street.
Yes, it's a two-way street. And they, you know, but just the joy. And one of the things that I enjoy the most was sometimes they forget that I am their teacher. They used to call me, you know, mommy. and then they caught themselves. Oh, I'm sorry, teacher. I meant to say teacher. You know, but I just love that. You know, when that happened.
Oh yes, what a bond that you've established with them.
Yes, they love. You know, and sometimes you have to take them in consideration because sometimes they do bring, you know, joy and they bring something into the class themselves. You know, it's not like the teacher or the big people giving them instructions. Sometimes by observation, and sometimes they said things that caught your attention, and it was, just joyful. I say, wow. You wonder why a child could be, think that way or say these things. And
sometimes insightful, it does catch you sort of off guard, doesn't it? It's like the child that is instructing the adult here and opening up some doors for the adults to better understand them. Well, best of luck with that book. I hope we have a chance to talk about that when it comes out. And again, Soledad, thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Okay, well, thank you for having me and recounting some of these joyous moments in my life. So.
It's been a pleasure, and I felt like I was there with you going through all of the process and the joy in teaching, the joy of growing up with a mother that really spent the time with you and helped shape you for the rest of your life. And the book by Soledad Dos Rios is Angel del Brasil. You'll get all the information at Amazon. Of course, if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll be able to link on directly to the Amazon site for Soledad's book. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.